My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Get the store clerk's attention and point to your favorite lottery scratcher.
Three.
You prepare your lucky quarter.
Two.
And work that popcorn shell out of your tooth.
One.
Quarter beats scratcher and...
scratch away.
With the Illinois Lottery. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Finland's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Elina Valtonen, is in Dublin today, where she'll meet her counterpart, Taoiseach and Irish Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence, Simon Harris. The two ministers will discuss bilateral relations between our countries, as well as the issue of European security and defence, including Russia's continued war of aggression against Ukraine. Minister Elina Valtonen is with me in studio now. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning and thank you so much.
Now, we cannot avoid talking about what happened in the Oval Office on Friday. What was the reaction, your own personal reaction, and the reaction of the Finnish government and the Finnish people?
The Finnish people were astonished and are very sad, I guess, to this day. It really marked something or a change in perhaps attitudes what comes to our transatlantic relationship, because even though, of course, Ukraine is not part of the European Union or NATO, Finns feel very, very strong solidarity with Ukrainians and with Ukraine, who now in its fourth year has to defend itself against full-scale invasion. And at the same time, of course, we have had traditionally very good relations with the United States. And I guess I can speak for all of Europe here. But still, I'm optimistic. I don't think we've lost anything. But certainly those scenes were not something we would have expected to see.
Was it really concerning to see how allied Donald Trump seemed to be with the thinking of Vladimir Putin?
Our message to our American friends has been all along that nobody wants peace more than Ukrainians. I was in Kyiv early this year myself, and I visited a children's hospital. And to really see that sadness in those eyes of children who have maybe lost limbs themselves, but also family members, and who really don't understand why a hostile power is trying to invade their country. Now, there is no other way for credible and lasting peace other than Ukraine is allowed to peacefully decide on its own matters and remain sovereign. And also, of course, territorial integrity enshrined in the UN Charter is a key ingredient of any peace, because if we let go of that, then effectively... Well, exactly. Then we forget about the UN Charter and all its elements also going forward and globally.
Now, Finland has had a difficult relationship with its large neighbour, Russia, from time to time. And you had to do a deal, land for independence effectively, didn't you?
You could call it a difficult relationship, but Finland is... a country almost, well, almost exactly the size as Ireland. And our geography is that we have a very long land border with Russia. And I can guarantee you that at no point in history has Finland tried to threaten Russia or take anything away from Russia. But on the very contrary, to this, Russia and also the Soviet Union have... been very aggressive towards Finland in the past. The last time in the Second World War, Finland luckily, and actually was one of the, or not the, not one of the only, but the only country who was able to remain democratic and independent during the Second World War whilst sharing a border with Russia. So we are very proud of that, but of course that came at a heavy cost. And back then, we didn't have the UN Charter yet, right? So yes, you could say that Finland swapped some territory for its ongoing independence and being able to remain a democratic nation, you know, based on
the rule
of law.
Are there people living within what is now the Russian border who speak Finnish, who are truly Finnish?
No, we evacuated hundreds of thousands of people, including my grandparents, who had to, within like 2 days, leave everything what they had and to flee to what is now Finland. So yeah, there's maybe a tiny bit of population who still speaks somewhat Finnish. But also in Finland, only very few people speak Russian. So we are, not really related.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that happened on foot of the aggression by Russia on Ukraine was that Finland joined NATO. Mm. How it was a quick decision, but I suspect an easy decision.
It was a very easy decision, but we wanted to do that together with our friends in Sweden. So we started more or less the process right in those days following the full-scale invasion, because we observed that the approval ratings amongst the population for immediate NATO membership really skyrocketed. And they have actually remained as high ever since. But the difference between Finland and Ireland in this regard is perhaps that Finland never thought that we had this ideology of being neutral. It was more or less imposed on us. Mm-hmm. And especially ever since we joined the European Union in 1995, we've never thought of ourselves as neutral, perhaps militarily non-aligned, but not neutral, because the values which we hold dear, democracy, human rights, the rule of law and equality, is something which we are definitely not neutral against. And those values are also those which we are able and willing to fight for if needed.
How militarily prepared is Finland for any incursion by Russia?
Well, you see, even in the past 30 years, when more or less everybody in Europe thought that, or after the collapse of the Soviet Union, that perhaps Russia becomes...
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
An open society again, and let's not say again, but...
You know, with post-Gorbachev and so on, it looked like that Russia was embracing, if you like, a Western approach to things, and then the ex-KGB man, Vladimir Putin, had different ideas.
Yes, and that also, I guess, goes to show that against Russian narrative, all of the West was eager to engage with Russia and really help them towards becoming a proper democracy and empowering their civil society and all that. Finland certainly, I would say that all of our partners in Europe were doing the same. But what Finland did in those past 30 years as well was that we invested into our own defense. We kept doing that because we knew that even though we hoped that Russia becomes a country who respects international law, Russia could also become something else. And therefore, we never let our guards down. You could say we kept on investing into our defense and deterrence. We have a conscription-based army, and we have one of the strongest armies in Europe, even though we are a fairly small nation.
And recently, a cargo ship was detained by the Finnish authorities on the basis that it was suspected to have been severing undersea cables in the Baltic, which is a part of, if you like, Russia's hybrid warfare against the West.
You see the shadow fleet that Russia has been using for undermining essentially the G7 and EU-imposed oil price cap is not only a tremendous danger and threat to the environment, but also to a critical infrastructure. And that truly is concerning to countries who are islands, like Finland almost is an island as well in this regard, like Ireland as well. So, of course, critical subsea infrastructure should in all circumstances be kept safe. And we have now, of course, taken massive steps in the European Union, but also in NATO in how to secure our infrastructure.
Are you concerned that the US has decided to stop its cyber efforts against Russia, either defensively or offensively?
I'm not just hoping, but I'm convinced that the United States, despite all this information and what's been happening over the course of the past few weeks, is fully engaged with Europe and the values which we share, and certainly the American people are. Because trade with the European Union or Europe as a whole explains a significant lot of the wealth also on that side of the Atlantic. 40% of our trade is with each other, so Europe and the US.
Do you believe that the Trump administration has a real understanding of this and what they say publicly is aimed at the domestic MAGA audience rather than, you know, telling them really what's going on? Because supply chains are so complicated for pretty much everything these days, and tariffing one area or another area is bound to impact the domestic American economy.
It's exactly as you say, and we've observed the stock market coming down every time President Trump has an idea about new tariffs. So that's for one. Second thing, there's already some threat of inflation being on the rise in the States. So certainly imposing new tariffs on your, especially your closest partners, is not the way to go. But let's see. I'm pretty convinced that quite many of those messages that we hear from President Trump and his administration are first and foremost addressed towards the domestic audience. But at the same time, of course, those do have implications to the rest of us as well.
They're always talking about it. The last time Trump was in power, that there were a few adults in the room. Given the selection of his cabinet, it doesn't look like that there are too many serious people in the room with him. So if not those figureheads that we see in charge of the various agencies, who is really calling the shots then? And can we know?
Let's put it this way. Well, President Trump was democratically elected and he got more than 50% of the vote. And that is something which we respect. He, of course, has the right to choose his team. And now he's been a bit more than 6 weeks in office. A lot has happened in the past 6 weeks. Typically, a president wouldn't start as actively, let's put it this way.
Well, flooding the zone is how they put it themselves. Do so many things so quickly that responding to them is almost impossible in real time.
Exactly. So let's see what happens, but I'm still optimistic.
What is on the agenda for your meeting with our Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence, Simon Harris?
I'm very much looking forward to the meeting with Simon Harris, and we have so much on our agenda. First of all, of course, our very good bilateral ties, our trade engagement, of course, politically, we see the world very similarly. There's so much we can do. Second is, of course, the security situation in Europe, and also looking back at the meeting last night in London and the steps we need to take in order to empower ourselves even better than thus far as Europe for our value and for the European way of life, which I think now more than ever deserves its limelight. Now, then, of course, we will be looking at the European Union agenda, what we share there, the UN agenda, perhaps speaking a little bit about the Middle East as well, because it's of great concern as well. Now with some optimism there, but still very complicated.
Do we have a lot of bilateral trade, Finland and Ireland?
Yes, we do have, especially in digital technology, we have a lot, and in services. And then, of course, Finland is a front runner in everything what comes to say defense material and also dual use goods. I'm sure those are extremely important for Ireland as well going forward. In technology, I would say there's a lot we can do together.
Mm. Will there be any push at all from you in Finland and from other NATO countries for Ireland perhaps to leave a non-aligned space and join NATO?
I don't think there's any reason or room for me to push anybody. I'm just speaking, of course, openly about the Finnish example. And I guess in Finland, because of our geography, we never had the luxury of being able to sit back and think that, you know, we have a proper choice or that we are properly able to choose on our behalf. Because if we started to be as neutral that we never invested into our own defense, then perhaps there wouldn't be any Finland any longer, right? So we just have done that. And also asking the Finnish people, when we decided to join NATO together with Sweden, that was at least as much as it was about securing our own future. It was about securing the future of Europe, because we know that we have those capabilities and we are really net contributors to NATO's security as well, that we really are able to protect the future which we hold dear. And which is so different from what we see on the other side of the border from Finland, where there's basically nothing left of the values which we think are the main ingredients of an open society and a happy future.
Can a combination of European countries offer the kind of security that Ukraine needs, do you think?
I'm sure we can, but I'm still thinking that the United States not only will remain involved, but also wants to be that also going forward. But yes, most definitely, we do think that Europe needs to be pulling its own weight better what comes to defense and deterrence. We are on the right track there, and at the same time, we are also securing Ukraine.
One of the problems, I think it was it Carl Bildt who said it, that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are unserious people, that they don't really take the world security seriously. It's all about deals and games.
I'm sure that also for President Trump and Vice President Vance, a future and a world where, say, agreements are respected is a much more attractive one than its reverse. And also in the business world, if you can't trust a paper that you have just given your name on or received a signature to, then the deal is not really something, or it's not worth much.
Effectively, if you're an untrustworthy partner, then nobody will trust you and no one will do those deals.
Yes, and I guess also what's extremely important to note is that if you're very interested in only economic matters, then massive uncertainty is actually the worst you can impose on your real economy, on the people, the hardworking people on the street, but also the investors. So therefore, stability, security, and a future based on the values that we share would be something that probably also to President Trump should be the most attractive one.
Elina Valtonen, who is the Finnish Minister for Foreign Affairs, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you so much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.